Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Oh yeah, look at this place. Look at this place. We are broadcasting live from the Budweiser Brick House Tavern in Wrigleyville. It's for our Cubs on Deck luncheon. It is on. It is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. I am Mark Grody. We have Marshall Harris here. We have Matt Spiegel as well. But we most importantly have the Chicago Cubs starting second baseman, Nico Hoerner, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Nico?
I'm good. It's a great way to start the week.
What do you think of this crowd here, man? They have been waiting for you for hours. What do you think about all these Cubs
fans? I don't
know.
Nobody works, I guess. It's the middle of the day on Tuesday. This is awesome. It's so good to be here. I mean, it's cool to do this segment every week, but to do it in front of people and next to Wrigley, and it feels a little different. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you've been wanting to do an in-person one, man. You've been wanting to get out here and see the people. This is pretty neat, right?
Yeah, the headset feels more official than my little Zoom, like, up iPhone next to a water bottle, like, whatever it is.
The coolest thing that Nico does every week when he comes on with us, usually in the afternoon, is you seem to find a different spot at the ballpark or wherever you are every time. I don't know that we've ever seen the same backdrop. Like, you've been in the batting cages or, like, down the line in a seat or, like, in the dugout.
Or in the no-driver car.
Yeah, the driverless car was a good one. I like to get outside, but sometimes the stadium speakers are on loud, and then I go find a dungeon somewhere and hang out. But, yeah, always something new every week.
Listening to you guys party in the clubhouse and watching it, and you just heard your soundbite from inside the champagne room of Wrigley Field.
Right there.
Very, it's a different type of champagne room, of course. But then I was reminded, man, like you said, jokingly, I'm not very experienced at this. You were with the team in 2020 on the roster, but there was pandemic year, so there was no big partying, was there? I don't remember.
Yeah, that was very limited in what you could do, and just the playoff experience in general was cut short by obviously us not going far, but also just not having fans and all the things that make playoff baseball so special. So it really feels like the first time.
I'm sorry Marshall, that sound of your voice in that cut, a little bit higher in terms of the tone. Trying to tell if you had a buzz or not. I can't figure that out.
I was talking over a lot of people, but a couple beers after a day game, nice and dehydrated, usually hits pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it is a rather ridiculous endeavor, isn't it? Like, for you guys to pour stuff all over yourselves and have the plastic out there. But that's your space. Like, it felt like we weren't even supposed to be able to see it. Like, I know Taylor's in there with a poncho on it. I'm glad she was so we can see stuff. But, like, you guys deserve that celebration privately.
Yeah, I felt like we were able to do that pretty well. And getting to do that with the staff and everyone that's there for the whole 162. And that's really the cool part. And for me, especially with, coaches and players that have been here since I was drafted and things like that. That's really the special stuff within it all, and I feel like what I'll remember most from it.
Nico, when you look at getting to the playoffs, because that's such a journey in and of itself to get through a 162-game schedule and get to continue playing baseball when other players go home, what's the most exciting part of being able to do that, and specifically the opportunity maybe to do it here at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, but doing it at home is really – you know, something that we've emphasized. We've emphasized from the beginning of the year the importance of just embracing Wrigley as a unique place, as a place that's an advantage to us, a place that has randomness and wild games and weird conditions that other places don't have, and really treating that as our home and a place that, you know, we feel like we always have an advantage if we're playing here. And so being able to play in the playoffs here is even more so.
And guess what? These games, you guys host the Mets tonight, as you well know. Cubs and Mets tonight at 6:40, 6:05 pregame here on The Score. And you're in the playoffs, which is fantastic, but there's still something to grind for. You guys have lost four in a row. Is it time to get just a few more wins here to get home field?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that home field is a huge deal. And, you know, every game is cliche, but matters a lot when it comes to just the momentum and the good energy and everything that you want to have going into the playoffs. And, you know, I think we'd be fine regardless. But, yeah, you want to be feeling good. It's great to finish the regular season at home. I think that's a big deal. And just be loaded and ready to go for whatever's ahead.
I was struck by something you said with Matt and Lawrence a couple of weeks ago when asked about what team should be worried about with facing you in the playoffs. And you started with Cade Horton. It was like number one. He's going tonight. Do you feel like he, in just his rookie season, has already become a stopper?
Yeah, I mean, I think I so quickly thought of that. I just picture, you know, the impact of, you know, starting pitching in a playoff series. You know, you get this shortened, intense environment, and a guy who can go out there and dominate and pretty much win you a game is incredibly valuable. And, you know, Cubs fans know that from past playoff success that the team's had. And I think we've got a variety of guys that can do that. But, you know, the run Cade's been on has been pretty special.
Yeah, what's he doing? What's he doing? As you stand behind him and watch the ball come out of his hand, I mean, first of all, he's throwing strikes like crazy with every single pitch.
Yeah, I mean, there's games I feel like he could just pitch with his fastball. It's just the movement on it, the command, the velocity, all of it, just like his mound presence. He's on the attack always, and as a defender, you love that. And, yeah, it's a great place to start.
I wonder if the pitch count, like the innings limit has actually even helped that mindset. Like, he's just going out there being aggressive. I don't know how long I got. Let me just go for it.
Right. I know. It might be something to learn from that. There's such an emphasis on strikeouts now for pitchers, and, you know, he struck plenty of guys out, but the amount of weak contact that he gets is great and huge for being a starting pitcher if you want to throw 180, 200-plus innings a year, which I know in the long term is what his mind's on.
Yeah, let's stay on him for a second, because, like, if that dude is, like, front of the rotation, ace, shut people down in the playoffs, like you, Nico Horner, allowed yourself to envision, that changes things. Like, guys like that, it can change the chemistry of a playoff series. It can change the whole thing, because, like, teams can have fear and stuff like that. He's got the stuff to do it, but he's got the toughness and the moxie too. Right? As a former quarterback, this is like a tough SOB.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that's crazy with him is just how few innings that he's thrown between college and the minor leagues in a way that feels like he's still improving. Like, I mean, I think it's hard to imagine how much baseball experience most of us have had before we get to this point, and that he's still kind of learning on the fly and is as mature as he is just super impressive.
That is the voice of Nico Horner. We are here at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern, all going down on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Nico's going to be with us for the entire hour. He's going to indulge us in our fun little game at about 12:25, five on it, a very special five on it, in which Nico Horner will participate. Here's the easy question for you. Have you seen Kyle Tucker? Is Kyle Tucker in Wrigleyville right now? Do we know?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
What is the feeling right now in the clubhouse? Because we obviously, and I think justifiably, obsess over Kyle Tucker right now because everybody wants to see him out there. What are the discussions? What is the reality right now with Kyle Tucker, if you could tell us anything?
Well, yeah, it's no secret he's very important for, you know, what we want to accomplish as a group. And you've seen that this year, the impact he has in our lineup when he's just a good version of himself and makes our lineup so much deeper at the all-around player that he is. So, obviously we all want him back as soon as we can, but also want him to be a version of himself that he's, you know, able to be out there and perform at his best. So, he's doing what he can to do that.
Craig Counsell said something that really kind of hit home with me, because we're all like, when guys are struggling at the plate or pitching or whatever the case may be, at this point you're not going to be able to make big changes or adjustments to what's going on. So it's just, you just hope that it's like with some players that it's a slump and then they just get it back on. Is that sort of the mentality right now with the postseason, that the energy is going to be different and the adrenaline is going to be different?
As a group?
Yeah. Or the guys that are struggling right now, guys on the offense that are struggling, you know, maybe in the starting staff, Matthew Boyd, who we know has pitched well over the most pitches he's ever pitched in his life, which was back in 2019. How do you adjust for the playoffs? I mean, is it just kind of hoping that things get regulated?
I don't really think there is much of an adjustment. Like, I think if you're making big adjustments, then you're kind of changing and just throwing stuff against the wall, just hoping that something works because it's a bigger situation. I don't really think that works at all. And if anything, it's just going to tell your body and your whole system that, whoa, this is different, and then you kind of get weird, you know?
Like, yeah.
Is that something that you had to learn as a baseball player, as a major leaguer? Like, the grind is so long, so if you start changing your processes, I mean, there's making adjustments, but then anything too radical is just going to maybe put you in even a worse spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just having a growth mindset throughout and constantly taking whatever's in your way or working with you and making the most of it. And I think our group's done a good job of that throughout the season. And it's a three-game series. We've attacked every three-game series with everything we have. Obviously, there's pitching decisions and things that are going to line up differently. But as far as how you approach your swing or your at-bats, there's not really a whole lot to change.
Nico Horner here with us on The Score. Dude, you're hitting the ball extremely well. Last 23 games, it's a .355 batting average for Nico Horner.
Is that good?
Last 38 games, it's, I think, a .327 batting average. And it's just, I remember you saying, maybe a couple years ago, we've been doing segments together for a few years now. I remember you saying, yeah, the line drive always plays, right? I mean, it's like you're, it feels like there is a laser beam line drive just coming off your bat with consistency. Do you feel like you're in a really good groove, or is this just good results from the same process? What's happening for you at the plate right now?
There's times when I get good results, and we've talked about a lot that it's just there is a level of randomness always with baseball and results. But like you said, when you're just making quality contact over and over, you start to control your luck a little bit. And just in the second half in general, I've made a lot of good contact, nothing crazy, but just solid line drives all over the place. And I know over time that plays. So yeah, I'm in a good spot.
So yeah, there was one time I looked at the lineup and was like, wait a minute, I see Nico in the two hole, but Bush is in the one hole. Nico's hitting second against righties. Let's go. Yeah, Craig. Way to go. It's like you've got a consistent presence up there. And Craig Biggio, he had more home runs, but I've always thought of like, man, Biggio, there's a second baseman who hit in the two hole for years and years and years. Why not Nico Horner?
Yeah, he's an incredible player and catcher too, which is crazy career.
All the way to center.
Yeah, I've hit second a good bit in the big leagues. It's probably where I've hit the most in my career, like, from when I was little until, you know, now, all the games.
But he had you seventh for a while. I'm like, what are we doing, Craig? Come on. Is that just us that thinks about that stuff? How does it register for you?
Yeah, of course it matters. I mean, lineup construction, I think there's sometimes we feel like it matters a lot. Sometimes it just feels kind of random and doesn't as much. But at the end of the day, like, the most of the models and the minds behind it want the best hitters hitting the most. I think that's probably the simplest thing behind the lineup construction. I think there is some stuff within that that deserves some more nuance, but I get that concept. That makes sense.
How do you think Craig Counsell would react if Matt Spiegel was outside of his office going, nice job, Craig. Nice job. How do you think he would
react? I think it would really take it to heart and probably change his decision making.
That's exactly what I can envision for him. I wanted to ask you about specifically when you're hitting the way you have been hitting all season long consistently with runners in scoring position. Was there any moment where you're like, man, I wish I was a little higher up in the lineup so I could get some more opportunities with guys on base? I mean, the numbers are the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I also want to, you know, the flip side of hitting first or second is you're also on base for the best hitters in your lineup and, you know, the ability to steal a base in front of your best hitters or score runs. So you just want to be a part of runs, whether you're scoring them or knocking them in and being in the middle of that. It is fun hitting back-to-back with Ian when we have, just because I feel like throughout the years we've kind of paired nicely together with our skill sets, and you know, we're very different players, but I think complement each other well. So we've just had a good feeling for things over the years, the two of us, and I like when we hit back to back.
That's really cool because he's on today at 2:30 with Layla and with Lawrence.
Is that
coming
what's going
up
on? They're doing the afternoon show today. That's how that works.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Grunts. Gotcha. Thank God we clear that up.
Yeah, yeah.
But so why do your skill sets fit nicely together?
I mean, he's a switch hitter, so he matches up well with everybody. But he's been more, you know, slugging on base, based, and I've been more contact and just hits. And so I also feel like he's got a good feel for when I want to run and is able to take pitches and be comfortable getting deeper into counts when I need to do that. And then just straight up, just kind of memories and randomness and things that we've had. And, you know, it used to be we would hit eighth and ninth, like in 2020 some. And even when I was called up, I remember being on base for some of his homers. So just good memories.
Guys, this is Nico Horner right here. He's the Cubs starting second baseman. That's right. We're at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. We have a special treat for you guys coming up because we do a segment every day on the Rahimi Harris and Grody Show called Five On, our five hottest topics of the day. Well, we have catered our questions to include Nico Horner. So, Nico, will you engage us in our fun little reindeer game coming up next?
Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to have Cubs questions, maybe even outside of the baseball
realm.
There's
a lot outside of baseball.
There's a lot to discuss with Nico Horner from the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern, with Matt Spiegel, with Marshall Harris, with me, Mark Grody, and, of course, our guest honor, Nico Horner, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's time for Five on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bringing you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
About to be the most important edition ever of Five on It. It is about to go down here on the Rahimi Harris and Grody Show with Matt Spiegel. At the, as we broadcast live from the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville today, it is all for our Cubs On Deck Luncheon here, powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. It's going to be very important because Nico Horner is in the house. He is with us until 1 o'clock today. That's a playoff second baseman, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, come on, cheer louder than that. He's hitting 355 in his last 23 games.
Look at this guy.
What the hell?
Come on, Matt. I like the hype.
The folks are trying to eat, Matt. Let them be.
They're going to the playoffs for the first time since 20.
That's true. One more time. It is officially time for... would you like to comment on that? Anything that you'd like to say before we start Five on It here, Nico?
I think
no,
might.
It's great energy.
Yeah, we're bringing it here. Time for Five on It. Let's go.
Number one.
All right, number one. Nico, who is your favorite player to watch on this Cubs team?
My favorite player to watch on the Cubs team?
That's a good question.
I like watching Seiya a lot. I like watching Seiya on a day-to-day basis. Like, his routines and everything that he does are unbelievable. And, like, you guys see the stuff on the field, but the him coming from such a different baseball background, I just find, like, his work fascinating, and he's an incredible player.
Wow. So what's a routine that he does different than everybody?
He hits the slowest, highest flips from a coach that you've ever seen. He's like, it's like slow pitch softball. I guess you have seen it. It's like 16 inch in the cage every day, and like the super slow, and it's all about control and like slow movements, and like a very different than a lot of us who are just like hit. And
so Matrix, I like it.
So I love watching Seiya do his thing.
Spiegel, who's your favorite Cubs player to watch?
Oh, well.
Yeah,
I know what you're
you knew
say.
The question
you,
ahead
you
of
know
time.
What I'm gonna say. Yeah, of course. Marshall, go ahead and say it.
It's Nico Horner.
But I've said that all year, haven't he? Genuinely, like, just the way that he goes about everything.
Okay.
Seriously.
No, I'm kidding.
But, like, on base, the way that he's thinking about it, every at-bat, grinding every pitch, just the fundamentals in the field, everything. And the slide, dude, the joy you have when you head-first slide into home.
Oh, I love the head-first slide.
Oh,
yes.
God, it's amazing. So, yeah, no, for me, it's Nico. It is.
Thank you.
For me, it's going to be Matt Shaw, and here's why. Because I love his resilience. Obviously, season didn't start the way he wanted it to. My favorite thing about him is he doesn't allow his bat to affect his glove. He's been phenomenal at the high corner. And my favorite thing about him is underrated speed. I love speed. I love a guy that you're like, is he that fast for real? Mm-hmm. And he's that fast for real.
He doesn't run. He doesn't look like he should be. There's limbs flying in every direction.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is. My favorite Cubs player to watch other than Nico Hoerner, because Nico Hoerner was built for this. Craig Counsell said he is built for the 162-game season. That is true. I go Pete Crow Armstrong, and partly what you were just saying, and like the obvious stuff, the home runs and the defense. I love watching first to third speed, and you got it too, Nico, but just watching guys fly around the bases, like, I think it's because, honestly, it's because I'm old, because I was a child of the 80s, and watching, like, Willie McGee and these guys, Vince Coleman, and I hate to romanticize the Cardinals, I am sorry for doing that,
definitely just did
but watching guys like that just speed around the bases is beautiful to me, so I'm going to go with Pete Crow Armstrong.
Number two.
All right, Nico, here's a nice juicy baseball question for you. Who should win American League MVP, Cal Raleigh or Aaron Judge?
Yeah, it's a really good race. I mean, I feel like usually I would go on the side of the catching position is just so hard to get production from that, you know, if you're a catcher pushing 60 homers, it's an automatic MVP. But when you're the OPS from Judge is almost 200 points higher, I think.
And 1.123.
That's a really, really big difference. And, you know, I think sometimes with players that are so great, there's kind of some fatigue and excitement about them because it's, you know, another great year from him. But I think Aaron Judge is the MVP. Yeah.
Nico basically just said, this ain't the NBA. We don't get fatigue over here. We're talking about who's the most valuable. I'm going to go with Cal Raleigh, but that's just because I told everybody, take Cal Raleigh early in the season when the odds were astronomical, and now I want my payout. They're trying to get me to cash in early. I'm not doing it. I'm riding it out.
Trying to do it right now, right? You were just showing me that. I'm going Cal Raleigh, too, because he's not going to sniff this again. Cal Raleigh is not going to do what he is doing this year. I don't think he's going to
sure
do this again. I mean, to this level.
You sure about that?
You know what I'm saying? Like, Aaron Judge deserves it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But I think just with the story of Cal Raleigh, like, Aaron Judge will be right back there tomorrow. And I know, like, voters aren't necessarily.
So the exact opposite of what I said.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Cool. You and I should totally do a radio show together.
Sounds good.
You are. You are. Right now.
This is it. I'm just being borrowed for this particular radio show. But I go with Cal Raleigh.
I go Cal Raleigh, too.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Nico. He's a catcher who might have 60 homers.
Yeah.
And the fact that and it's big. Like, he's got like 16 more RBIs, something like that. I know that's an opportunity stat, but I still feel like I see him come up big time and time again. And the way that team has survived Houston making a push, they just swept him down in Houston, and he was big down there. So
no, I think that the team narrative in all awards right now gets overlooked a lot. Like, when we go so deep into stats and comparison, and it's hard to quantify, like, those moments and team impact. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well,
it's a huge deal.
But I got to say, Judge, like, I've heard Aaron Boone say about Aaron Judge, he's the best guy in our room. Like, how cool is that to think about that player is also that best guy?
Yeah, that's definitely not how it always works. So, yeah, it's crazy. And to do it there in a place where he pretty much wears everything good or bad in the toughest media, probably, it's a big deal.
It's a great race.
It's a great race.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score. We've got Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, Matt Spiegel, and the man of the hour, Cubs second baseman Nico Hoerner, all in the house at Budweiser Brick House Tavern. Nico, what's your most unpopular sports take?
Oh, my most unpopular sports take. That's a deep one.
It is deep. Something with the Raiders?
Well, how about you guys want to jumpstart?
Yeah. Why don't we
give Nico a minute?
We are putting him on the spot. So I know what? I'm going to go first on this one, actually, because my worst sports take, I hate to bring this up, Nico, but I don't know if you know about this, but it was, I think it was May. Was it April or May, Marshall? when I did what I did.
Oh, yeah,
with
that was April.
That was in April. So in April.
No, it was May. It was in May.
When you guys were looking like there's nobody that can stop you in the division, when I had written off the Milwaukee Brewers, I pronounced right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score that the Chicago Cubs would win the division. And I said, I was even condescending about it.
The Cubs take this thing and they clinch the division essentially today. Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs, 7.5 game lead.
So I predict this. I got killed for it then. I got killed for it afterwards. I have my best friend, Nico, texting me about that. How's that prediction going for you?
Well, are people mad that you, like, put some kind of bad energy out there?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's part of it. That's part of it, no doubt.
But don't you, as... Like, isn't that part of the excitement, is like going all in on a feeling or something?
Absolutely. I didn't say I regretted it. I'm just telling you the killing that I have taken because
Don't do it
of
again.
It.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember those moments in a season, and like, because the season is so much here and there and everything about it. It's just part of the story of it.
It's a great reminder too, like the cliche of a long season that you guys hit us over the heads with. Like, but it's true. That was the great reminder that I was being an idiot that early.
Said, don't do it now. They got time. Just say you believe they will win.
That's enough.
Clinch.
That's enough on my. We don't have to break down my bad prediction. Yeah.
My most unpopular sports take, because a lot of people think this makes me anti-player. Oh, it's sad. I'm going to say it out
play
loud.
Play on,
Nico.
Player. Go ahead.
I actually think baseball would be better with a salary cap and a salary floor.
Whoa,
Jesus,
that's a strong take.
I actually think as a lover of the sport and of leagues and of parity, that I think the league would function.
You want the
better.
Nuttings to spend money. I see you.
Well, they don't.
Yeah.
Do you have an issue with the players that make a lot or the teams that don't spend?
The teams that don't spend.
Fair
but
enough.
I don't think they're I don't think you're going to get a floor without a cap. So I think that it's something that both sides need to work together and figure out some happy medium on.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting CBA for sure.
My most unpopular sports take is definitely that they should get rid of the DH in the National League, and then they should play games where you actually play the opposite way in interleague games, where if you're an American League team, you don't get the DH when you play a National League team. That's gone by the wayside, but I just wanted to see everybody see the different styles of play in every park. That's it.
I think that Mondays off in baseball would be a huge deal for the sport. I think keeping 162 is important for like the history books of stats and keeping that consistent. But there was a way to start the season just a little bit earlier in order to have the off day every Monday. You could still have a Sunday night game and a Monday night game, like one special, but then have Sunday day game and a Tuesday night game for players would be just a massive deal, physically and mentally. But keeping 162, if possible, that would be my take. My restructuring.
He's an opinionist. It has happened.
I love it.
Nico has segued into the opinion business.
Love it.
Number four.
If you didn't do what you currently do for a living, Nico Horner, what would you do?
Oh, man. I honestly never had another job I wanted. I feel like I randomly would like enjoy doing architecture or something. But, yeah, let's just go with that.
Is there a particular? Did you like take the architecture tour in Chicago?
No, I actually never have.
Oh, man!
What are you doing?
I've sent many people to the architecture tour.
That is hilarious.
Did you tell them that you have seen it?
No. I just know people have a great time, and it's absolutely something I would enjoy. They stopped doing it at a certain time of year, obviously, and I haven't made it happen. You know, if I had my off days on Monday, I'd probably.
Oh, see? Okay. I like that.
Love that. So I'm going to cut in here, and we're going to, for the purposes of time, we're going to proceed to question number five, because this is a juicy one for you, Nico. Question number five is, do the Raiders have any mystique left?
For those who don't know, Nico is a jilted Raiders fan.
I grew up Oakland sports in general and was a Raiders fan, and they don't have mystique in my life anymore. I mean, I need to go to Vegas and see what's going on there. But no, not for me. Yeah.
Who will you be rooting for this week?
If I were to choose a team to win the Super Bowl at this point, it would be the Bears. Like,
He's been converted.
It's a good answer. That's how it happens, man. You move to a town, you live to a town, you get friends who are fans, right?
Yeah. and just, I mean, there's so much overlap with the people that I get to share time with here, and Chicago sports are really special to me. So, yeah, it'd be cool to see.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll say.
And they're Super Bowl bound now, right? They won.
That's it, man. Wow. That's all it took.
He's one of us now.
That's all it took. He's a full-on meatball. Hey. I don't think the Raiders have any mystique left. I think they lost it. With all the movement, the Oakland, the LA, the Oakland, and now Vegas, it just feels random. I know it's a nice building. I've been in the building and everything, but I don't think that. Do you guys think there's any mystique left?
Is it the same level as like the Sacramento?
No,
well, I'm sorry, not just the Athletics.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how Vegas in general with baseball too. It's just such a daily sport, and Vegas is more like a big entertainment. Like one day, I'm super curious how that works out.
By the way, Nico, you earned yourself 5 bears. I do a bear system on a scale of 1 to 10. You just got yourself 5 bears.
That's huge.
Yeah,
it's a conversion.
It's really important, and okay. I think that you get it and you understand that, and I want that to rise. So eventually we're gonna completely dismiss all of the Raidersness. Maybe a couple years down the road, maybe when you sign like a big extension for that you have to really commit to bears.
All in.
All in.
He can get an extra bear for going on the architecture tour, though, right?
Yeah. Well, we had to take away a bear for not having gone at it. It would have been 6 bears. But we have to take a break. That's Nico Horner, ladies and gentlemen. Cubs starting second baseman. We are broadcasting live from the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville today. More coming up with Nico on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Pack house at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville, overlooking Gallagher Way, overlooking Wrigley Field. It really is quite a sight. It's our Cubs on Deck series with the starting second baseman for the Chicago Cubs, Nico Horner. I am Mark Grody, along with Marshall Harris and Matt Spiegel. Layla Rahimi will be on with Lawrence Holmes a little bit later on. Now, Spiegel, you brought up something to Nico Horner during the break. Apparently, there are rumors that there is other good baseball going on right now outside of our Cubs bubble. I don't understand what you were talking about, but please tell us more about this.
The Guardians were 15 and a half games back of the Tigers, and now that race is a crazy dead heat with a week to go. The Tigers looked like maybe the best team in baseball, and now they've fallen off. It's absolutely bananas. Seattle got caught by Houston and then re-extended with a series there. You've got 3 teams fighting to catch the Mets in the National League. It is madness going into this final week of MLB, Nico. And I don't know, I mean, are there more good teams? Is it just hard to be great? What's going on? I know how much you love the league and follow the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just shows the value of a 162-game season and how long it takes to figure out who among us is really deserving of the playoffs. And then the playoffs are obviously the ultimate test, but just the margins between teams are so small, and a lot of it's just at what point of the year you catch a team or whatnot. And, it's just a good reminder for us, too, even if, we've had stretches of greatness, we've had stretches where it's been challenged, but every team has serious flaws, and someone who's not feeling great right now as a group is going to end up playing amazing in October, and some teams that feel dialed in are just going to flop, and that's just the reality of baseball. And so it's cool and exciting to know that it's pretty random, and it's kind of up to us to go from here.
Yeah, I think you guys have the sort of unfair distinction of trailing the Brewers. They've looked like the flawless team at points during the year. But even they have flaws, right?
Yeah, baseball is just a sport where you just don't ever nail it.
But Nico, I was going to ask you, what's your favorite non-Cubs storyline since you like to follow the game and all the different teams and things going on? You see the moving and the shaking.
I mean, this is super random, but it's been arguably the greatest left-handed pitching season in baseball history.
So like Scooble versus Crochet versus...
Yeah, and just in general, left-handed pitchers have just dominated baseball this year, and it's interesting as they've just continued to add pitches every single year and guys finding new ways to get us out. Like, that's a super random baseball storyline that I think is kind of interesting.
That's crazy. What are they doing? Are they?
I don't have a reason why, but it's just... there's something new every single season, and that's just totally random and kind of funny to follow, and that's been one of them this year. But I'm excited to see in playoff baseball just the different styles of play that come out that don't always show up in the regular season too. I mean, I know a lot of fans oftentimes are asking for, you know, more small ball or more base running or less of this or more of that, or we should do openers or we should let our starters go. And like, playoffs is when you really see teams double down on whatever it is they believe in, and so sometimes you see some really different ways of managing baseball.
And it going up against some badass starting pitchers. I mean, you guys have seen a couple recently. Like, you guys have had success against Paul Skeens, yet Hunter Green did what he did the other day. Is that also just a random thing? Can you get to these guys? Like, how do you explain getting to elite starting pitching, which you guys will see?
Yeah, especially at the biggest times of the year. And like you said, we've had success against some of the best of the game, and then not so much. But you'll also see some of the best starters in the game go two innings, give up three runs, and then immediately be pulled because they don't like the matchup in the third inning and playoffs in a way that you wouldn't see otherwise. So it goes both directions, and I think it's just embracing competition and moments. And yeah, it's chaos, but it'll be fun.
You guys had your struggles against like elite left-handed starting pitching, which you just kind of alluded to in the way you were describing it. One of my favorite wins this year was when you guys were able to get to Chris Sale and get a win in Atlanta. Like, how much does that do for a team's confidence when you do go up against a guy like that and you're able to scratch enough together, maybe not like 5 or 6 runs, but you're like, that's what it takes to win in playoff games, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we always talk about approaching every game the same way, but sometimes when you are facing a top guy, it does bring out the best in a group and another level of attention to detail and competition, and really wakes you up from the first pitch. And obviously playoff baseball should be doing that anyways, but it's just a cool way to get straight up into competition of the sport and embrace that.
You've done this a couple times this year. Sometimes talking to you on the radio helps kind of recenter my little brand of baseball positivity. I don't know about you guys, Groats and Marshall, but like, you can get lost in the second half and what feels like a downturn, but this is still a damn good team. You guys are a damn good team, and the possibilities are right here, right now, with like games of consequence starting tonight and hopefully 3 playoff games, might only need 2, next week, you know, maybe against San Diego, whatever. It's like, you guys are as good as anybody. In terms of what could happen in the postseason, you feel like you guys are as good as anybody?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like just for fans in general, like you spend so much time analyzing the off season and trade potentials and prospects and this and that. And like for fans too, like you earn the right to just enjoy this stuff too. You know, like it's not perfect, but it is what you do it for. You know, it's been a while, and all those opportunities are right in front of you, and just to be able to embrace them and be here and be present for it and excited for it is a pretty cool thing.
One of the weird things too that we were talking about, Marshall, when you came in here, asked about the day off. This is about to be weird day off time of the season, where there's days off before the playoffs, days off in between. Hopefully you guys are advancing. So this is kind of a preemptive question. When we sports talk show hosts start talking about it, is it good or bad when you're in the middle or at the end of 162 grind to have multiple days off in a row, if that becomes the case?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd rather have a bye, just it's a good thing to have a bye, but
simple math.
More than one day off is a strange thing for sure. I mean, we've had that. I haven't gone, you know, 2 days without, other than the All-Star break, 2 days without doing baseball stuff since
3 years ago?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I had surgery this off, but like January, you know? So it's strange.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to obviously keep up with it and probably do live at bats and things like that. But I've talked to guys about that before, and obviously you want that bye, but it's a tricky thing. And I think sometimes when you're just, even if you're tired, when you're just in the middle of it and going and playing every day, you just get in that rhythm. And that's a really nice feeling.
I know every game counts, but do these games feel more important because it is the week leading into the playoffs? And you know specifically, like tonight, the Mets are a desperate team, just like the Reds were a desperate team. Do these games carry more weight in terms of what you're trying to do going forward?
Yeah, I think in a way. I mean, on the individual side, the end of the year can be a real trap just mentally for guys with stats and things they want to accomplish, and you know, we're all wired to want like the next thing, and
300
so, yeah. padding title.
So
Bears.
Right, yeah. So it's like you can get really individual on that end of it in a way that's pretty unhealthy, and there's always a side of that. But I think at the end of the year, that can feel extra strong. So that's where playing for a good team is so nice, because you have the higher purpose at all times, like kind of pounding you over the head in a good way of what the group's trying to accomplish. And it's really, really cool to have that through every bit of the last games of the season and then into the playoffs. And yeah, it matters. And I'm really glad we're home to end this regular season and play in front of our fans and start to envision what that would look like in the playoffs. And all that's pretty incredible.
All right, so we've got some, I guess, breaking news. Is that what we're calling this? Breaking news on the Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Oh. Tour on Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is from Jeff Passan. Major League Baseball will implement a challenge system for balls and strikes in the 2026 season after the league's competition committee voted to usher in the era of robot umpiring. Teams will receive two challenges to dispute calls by the home plate umpire. There it is, Nico. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge system is going to be effective and kind of entertaining. I'm wary of it just because I think going to fully robot is, I'm not a fan of that personally. I think if you have a catcher back there who's just set up in the middle of the plate and catches it, doesn't matter how they frame it, it's just going to look ugly aesthetically. Like, I like framing. It's satisfying when a pitcher hits a spot.
Part of the game.
Yeah.
You can have a catcher just set up in a throwing stance behind the plate with a runner on base, and it doesn't matter how they catch it.
I don't think we're going full robot.
But I'm saying this feels like a step in that direction.
Yeah, hopefully not. I think you're right.
Back to the challenge system. I think it's going to create some really interesting team dynamics when a guy challenges a borderline call with two outs and no one on in the second inning and screws the rest of the lineup. But the only people that can challenge are the pitcher, catcher, and hitter. So there's no look into the dugout. It's up to you. And a lot of guys, you got to put your money where your mouth is. It's going to take away from complaining. And yeah.
Is two enough?
That was the big discussion. And a lot of players wanted more. But two is where we ended up.
With you. The world is about to go full robot, so let's just
man. Yeah. AI is everywhere.
Let's just slow it down wherever we can.
Chat GPT umpires.
Just a little bit.
No, that's seriously though. Yeah, it takes a lot of human element out of it, and I think the game needs as much as that as it can. So.
Yeah, Nico Horner, thank you so much for being here for this hour. This was awesome. Thank you.
You've been great for many years on the air with us here at the Score, and to get a chance to do it in front of the people, give it up for Nico Horner, everybody.
Yeah, Nico Horner.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff.
A reminder, folks, that Nico Horner will be signing autographs over there here at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern, but you're going to want to make sure you get back to your seats or even stay in your seats, because Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president of baseball operations, will be here live at 1:25 to talk to us and to talk to you. So that is all coming up right around the corner. Coming up exactly next, we will talk to Tim Jenkins of Jenkins Elite. He will break down Caleb Williams' performance against the Dallas Cowboys. Coming up next from the Budweiser Brickhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.